It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And here we go, off and running for this 10th day of November 2020. This is the Horn. Headon.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That, of course, is where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room during the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and all time zones in between, and the great globe around. If you do go there and you have never been there before, we'll pick yourself out a screen name and a password. Everything's free there. Use your regular one if you have been there before, and you'll be immediately greeted by early arrivers Squeaky and Roger and Anatole, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third stage guild navigator, has folded space on a day that is 62 degrees and no wind in Northern California to become Man Cave. Yes, indeed. Also at headon.live, the very main page there has the PayPal interface on it, wherein, if you so choose, you can become part of the merry little band that helps keep the program going day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year, and in fact, decade to decade. We are well into the second decade of our broadcast experience here at the Horn, and it's a pretty humble undertaking when you get right down to it. Every program here begins with gratitude because we don't have any ads for buy gold now. There's never been a better time to buy gold or various and sundry hustles for pharmaceuticals or automobiles, or the latest one, that Mercedes-Benz ad where I don't know if it's a teddy bear or a monster or what the hell it is, but it falls off some semi-tractor trailer into the snow, and it crawls. Oh my God, it's heartbreaking. It crawls, it dragging itself on three stuffed limbs or something through the snow until a child finds it and gives it a happy home and inside their mommy and daddy's Mercedes-Benz. Yeah, it's a real heartstring job, no kidding. But we don't have any of that here. We simply have the determination of a group of people, we happy few, who keep this all going from day to day, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so thanks go out to our subscribers for this, the 10th day of the month. That means thanks to Judy and Paul from Parts Unknown and Dan. Thank you very kindly as well to our buddy Anatole in the chat room, who jumped in and got us started this evening bright and early in the program. Mm-hmm. So that means our fundraising goal has dropped, what with Anatole jumping in early, our fundraising goal has dropped to $445. So thank you, Anatole. And it just so happens that $445 is pretty much exactly the amount of money that I have to lay out tomorrow. Golly Moses, I'm going to be getting on the road early on an errand I wish I did not have to make, to pay a bill I wish I did not have to pay. Don't worry, everything's okay. But this is one of those situations where I'm, well, paying out monies I wish I didn't have to pay. But I do. And so it would be great if we could raise the $445 and get us even with 2 days into this second full week of November. So if you want to help out, run over to HeadOn.live. And everybody who listens to the program knows this, and you know I despise talking about this. But if you're new to the program and you'd like to be part of the merry, the we happy few, we band of hornies, the interface is right there at HeadOn.live. And many thanks in advance for jumping out there and helping. Okay? Okay. So here it is. Trump-tanic Tuesday. Tuesdays around here, we celebrate manifestations of right-wing intellect of titanic proportions. It goes back to a day long, long, long ago when the right-wing blatherskate over at the radio station in Beckley, who has himself gone on to his long haul, took a call from one of the mouth-breathing, knuckle-walking people who, right-wing Republican people who tuned in to hear him read the newspaper every day, and asked him one day, "Steve, how come it is that there is seashells imprinted in the rocks of West Virginia? We ain't nowhere near the beach." To which he replied with in a monotone that could put a manic hyena to sleep. "Well, caller, that's because of the movement of the Titanic plates." And so Titanic Tuesday was born on the horn. Still no word at all on the movement of the Titanic tortilla press. Nope. And that's what we're talking about. And there's plenty of Titanic intellect evidence. And I'd like to start with what I think is a masterclass in expose of Titanic intellect. It comes from the floor of the Senate of the United States. It's a little time-consuming, but we've got time. It's a three-hour program. Having been recognized, Senator Chris Murphy, a Democrat from Connecticut, arose today to address the Republicans in that something less than august body. And as I said, delivered a masterful takedown of the Titanic intellect that infects our country, our republic, our union, each and every day, and has been growing worse each and every day since this past Saturday, when Joseph Robinette Biden was acknowledged to be the winner of the 2020 presidential plebiscite. With no further ado, I give you then Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut.
Senators recognize without objection.
Thank you, Madam President.
That must have been hard to even say, thank you, Madam President, because it took me a minute to wonder where that mousy voice, who belonged to that mousy voice, until I realized, why, that was Senator Marsha, goodness, Blackburn. Marsha. Sitting there exuding maggot stupidity in waves that could probably be measured from planet waves of stupidity that could probably be measured from Norblap 9. But take it away, Senator Murphy.
A Republican candidate in California by the name of Errol Weber lost his race for Congress by 72 points. And yet he is not conceding that he has lost. He says, I'm going to the Los Angeles County Registrar's Office to audit the vote counting procedures. I will not concede every legal vote needs to be counted. Just up the road in Maryland, a Republican candidate by the name of Kim Klasick lost by 40 points, and she is refusing to concede. She retweeted a post from President Trump in which he claimed that the election was stolen, and she wrote, I beat my opponent on day of and in-person early voting, along with absentee. However, 97,000 mail-in ballots were found in his favor. My colleagues, there is an epidemic of delusion that is spreading out from the White House.
Bless his heart, he didn't say stupidity, but there's just enough of a pause there to make you think that he was contemplating it. Yes.
And infecting the entire Republican Party in the wake of this election. And it presents a real threat to this country. President Trump didn't win the election. Every single one of my colleagues knows this. And he didn't just lose, he lost by a pretty substantial margin. He lost by 4.3% of the popular vote, likely around 70 electoral votes when all the counting is done. And while the results haven't been certified yet, this isn't the election in 2000. There aren't any hanging chads. We're not arguing about 500 votes here or there. In Michigan, the margin today is 148,000. In Nevada, the margin is 36,000. In Pennsylvania, it's 47,000. In Wisconsin, it's 20,000. In Georgia, it's 12,000. In Arizona, it's 14,000. Thousands and thousands of votes are these margins. Now, Hillary Clinton in 2016 lost by less than the president did in Pennsylvania and Michigan, and by about the same amount in Wisconsin, and she conceded the day after the election. Now, this is important, and I think that we need to talk about it here because it has real consequences for democracy and for national security. Why hasn't the president conceded? Now, it's not because there was voter fraud or because the election was stolen from him. We are a week out, and the president is still desperately searching for evidence of fraud. He won't find it because it doesn't exist. It doesn't exist.
Poor man. He's struggling to make the maggots in the Senate understand just how utterly ridiculous this entire charade that's been playing out for days now is. He's battling against the urge to simply say, what in the name of holy God is wrong with you people? Why can't you be free? Why can't you shake off the chains, the orange, the cheese-tinted, covfefe scented chains that bind you?
Pennsylvania or Michigan or Wisconsin or Georgia. The president has empowered the Department of Justice to now go out and launch investigations of voter fraud, despite a longstanding precedent for the DOJ to stay out of elections if their actions could be determinative. But the president is so desperate to now fill in his mythology, his narrative, with facts that he doesn't have, that he's sending the DOJ on this massive national fishing expedition. He hasn't conceded, not because there is fraud, there hasn't been. He's not conceding because he believes that there's a chance he can remain as president without having won the election, so long as congressional Republicans are willing to stick with him step by step by step. And so far, there is no evidence that congressional Republicans are ever going to step away from President Trump's delusional assault on democracy. Senator McConnell said this week that the president is, quote, within his rights to fight the election. That is, of course, true. The president can keep filing frivolous legal challenges if he wants. We're not going to stop him from doing that.
With the caveat being that, no, the Senate of the United States is not going to stop Nitwit Nero from doing that, but that at some point in time, he's liable to run into the buzzsaw that is Rule 11 of the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure. I'm getting a note. I just got a note from Balmer Bob, who said Trump's frivolous lawsuits can't survive first contact with the legal process. This election won't be over until the last lawsuit is left out of the last court. That from John Fugelsang. Yeah. As to the stolen election, Steve in New York says the Democrats were so good at this that we lost House seats, didn't get the Senate outright, and didn't win any of the state houses we wanted to. We are so clever. It's downright devious, isn't it? God almighty. But bless Senator Murphy's heart for trying.
But just because he has the right to mount these legal challenges, that doesn't mean that Republicans here have to support him in those efforts if they contravene the interests of democracy and the interests of a smooth transition of power. Today, Republicans support the president's refusal to concede. They support his lawsuits. They call on election officials, most recently in Georgia, who refused to bend their knee to Trump to resign. And they endorse the president's decision to refuse to begin the transition.
That's particularly painful because he's speaking in that instance, I'm sure they're not in the room, but he's speaking in that instance of two sitting members of that august deliberative body, namely Kelly, insider trading Attila the Hun Loeffler, and David, insider trader Chicken Perdue. Yeah. And Randy Radar points out, as much as I love this Democrat, I've got to correct him. In Bush v. Gore, Gore didn't lose by 600 votes or so. 20,000 to 40,000 Florida democratically leaning black felons, who really weren't felons, were disenfranchised and kicked off the voter rolls. That is a known fact. That bears repeating because everyone gets it wrong these days. And Randy, you are absolutely right. And you add into that the bizarrely large number of apparently older Jewish people who walked into the booth in Florida in 2000 and said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to vote for a Nazi sympathizer. That's what I'm going to do. And back then, you know, they may have just looked down at a certain tattoo on their wrist and said, yep, definitely voting for the guy who likes Nazis, and punched that hole out, punched that Chad for Pat Buchanan. Eesh. Darlene in Connecticut says, I prefer the phrase vexatious lawsuits for what Trump is doing. Vexatious is a good word. Frivolous, however, speaks to, well, it kind of speaks to the language of Rule 11. And I'm engaged in my filthy morning habit, and I noticed that Joe Scarborough, on more than two or three occasions this morning, called out that highfalutin law firm in D.C. by the name of Jones Day, and said, you people do realize you're flushing the reputation of your highfalutin silk stocking law firm right down the crapper, don't you, by continuing to participate in this massive cock-up of a claim of an improper election. You realize that, don't you? Yeah. Exactly. And thank you, Jeremy in Vermont, for getting us down to 440. One of my favorite voltages, perhaps Sparky's as well. I don't know, but thank you, Jeremy, for getting us down to 440. Back to Senator Murphy.
Now, this may sort of seem like a sideshow now to the inevitability of a transfer of power, but what's next? What if President Trump asks Republicans here to contest the selection of electors? What if he gets the message from Republicans in Congress that if you're willing to support all of the steps he has taken since Tuesday, that you will continue to support his efforts to try to remain in office despite losing both the popular vote and the Electoral College?
Oops, because that cat is no longer in the bag. That is the fondest, most fervid wish of no small number of maggots, maybe perhaps a vast majority of maggots, that the states engage in the selection of faithless electors.
That's within his rights to ask you to support a contest of electors. But will you do it? And what so far has we seen to suggest that there is an end to your decision to put your allegiance to this president above an allegiance to the country? The Secretary of State was asked today if he thought there would be a smooth transition of power from President Trump to the winner of the election, Vice President and President-elect Biden. And Secretary Pompeo said there will be a smooth transition to a second Trump administration.
That evil
Listen,
little.
These guys aren't playing.
Yeah, and it bears stopping and noting that Mike Pompeo, you know, he came in first in his class at West Point. Oh, we haven't made note of that in a while. That ignorant, evil, little hypocritical, phony baloney, evangelical Christian said there will be a smooth transition to a second Trump term. And while it could be interpreted as smartassery, I feel quite content and quite certain in saying he wasn't kidding. And for the sitting Secretary of State of the United States to say that, thereby engaging in the rankest and most vile form of politicking, the House of Representatives should probably give serious consideration to impeaching his sorry ass between now and the end of this session of the Congress.
This isn't just for show. They are going to keep pushing the bounds of democracy until somebody stops them. It's logical to ask, if Republicans have been willing to support every conspiracy that the president has engaged in over the last week, then why wouldn't they support the next set of attacks on democracy that this president engages in? How far are Republicans willing to go in their attacks against the decision of voters?
Fair question.
Now, for the president, there's really no downside to what he is doing right now. Either he steals the election, or he grows his political power. Because we learned in the last 24 hours that the president is raising money today online from his supporters, not for a fund that is designed to strictly finance a recount effort, but for a new political action committee that he has established that will fund his political efforts over the next 4 years. The button you click may give you the idea that you are supporting the president's recount, but in fact, you are helping him to amass resources that will allow him to be a major political presence for the next 4 years. And so either the president is successful in continuing this assault on the transition of power, or he's able to amass resources that help him into the future. There's no downside for the president.
In other words, it's another Trumpian grift.
There's a big downside for the rest of us. There's a big downside for this country. In the short run, the country's national security is threatened by a messy transition. This has been covered, I think, well today, but traditionally, the president-elect would be able to start getting briefings on national security threats, would start to get access to classified information, would begin to be able to do background checks on individuals that he would like to be part of his national security cabinet. Traditionally, those are amongst the first confirmations that move through this body, or the president's national security team. All of that being delayed by a president who refuses to begin a transition, and a Republican Senate that refuses to put pressure on the president to change his mind. But also, and in some ways more insidious, is the attack on the rule of law and the idea of peaceful transition of power itself. The narrative that President Trump is spreading and that congressional Republicans are facilitating right now, that the election was stolen or rigged, it isn't being...
And there you have it. That's what today is. In in the ongoing march of weirdness, and remember our rule for 2020 here, no matter how weird yesterday was, today was weirder still, and no matter how weird today was, tomorrow will be even weirder than that. Well, that is the current weirdness. There weren't many, I don't think there are any other people in the room, but by God, Marsha, goodness, Blackburn had to sit there and hear that because she is one of the maggots who will not dare speak up against her God Emperor. Marsha Blackburn. Quote, stood there glowing and beaming and smiling and issuing rays of happiness from every pore, rays that were so intense that they were visible and made her look like the old-time picture in the almanac of the man who stands discharging signs of the zodiac in every direction, and so absorbed in happiness, so steeped in happiness, that she smiles and smiles and has plainly forgotten that she is painfully and dangerously ruptured and exposed amidships and needs sewing up right away. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Flavio, for that from chapter 72 of the autobiography of Mark Twain, because it fits to a T. Flavio adding, when the process is complete, there will be electors selected, Pompeo said. Does he need to draw pictures? No, not at all. And you're not the only one worried by that, Flavio. I just had a note from Paul. Did Pompeo tip their hand about trying to end run the will of the voters at the state level? We're ready. We're going to count all the votes. When the process is complete, there will be electors selected, This worries me greatly, says Paul. By this, I mean the 12th Amendment. Well, yeah. Because, look, every filthy trick that they've managed to come up with, they've also telegraphed in advance that they intend to do. Jason Miller said back before the election closed on the 3rd, he said, well, we'll count the votes, and then we'll claim that, and then as the absentee ballots come in, you know, because we're in a pandemic, we'll claim they're stealing the vote, stealing the election. They're not particularly elusive in that. Ah, and by the way, we know that master journeyman electrician, inside wireman, Sparky says, I hate 440. And I don't know why, but I can perhaps guess. Oh, and hey, pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all-around great guy, Steve from Georgistan, has come in to assist his good friend Sparky. So, hey, Steve! Right. Oh, God. Steve in New York says, and the oh, God wasn't about Steve in New York. It's just day after day after day. Steve says, Trump's plans. I don't think this is about faithless electors. This is about contesting the electors when the Congress meets, with the vice president presiding over the count of the Electoral College vote. That objection requires an objection from the House and one from the Senate, after which each House goes to debate it. Think 2004 when that happened. They're going to do that for every state, hoping to eventually see that the electors are in such dispute that it will kick the whole thing into the House. And therein lies the madness. If they can just get it into the House, we can have four more years of Donald J. Trump. And if that is indeed the case, and we are not ready to go into the streets peacefully and legally, then we kind of deserve what it is that we get. Yeah. Oh, and Bob! Sanguine Part 2. No, I was not sanguine about the results, considering it was pretty obvious that Biden was going to win, especially after Sparky said so on the back porch on election night. However, I could not resist having some fun with the family, my wife's maggot family, as my wife and her two maggoty sisters went out for dinner. Yes, two ignorant white women who voted for Trump again because they think the economy is good. To my wife's credit, she made sure she and her sisters, intellectual Lazy Susan and Polly Want a Cracker, dined outside as the weather has been beautiful these past several days. Oh, yes, it has. What's that, Jeffrey? Jeffrey states, Joey refers to Polly as Polly Want a Cracker because, hell, she's married to one. A cracker, that is. So I drove up to the restaurant and put on my Trump with a Pinocchio nose Halloween mask and crashed the dinner party. As I entered the outside deck area, one party of eight stood up and clapped as I waved a McDonald's hamburger and diet soda in attempts to replicate the true Trump. I gave my wife a lovely card just thanking her for being my wife, and I took off the mask and just gave my sister-in-laws a sinister stare. My wife asked me to stay, but I said I would rather not as I pointed across the street at a home with two huge Biden-Harris signs and a third sign saying Trump for prison. I told my wife that
I want to party with those people.
Oh, right, wrong voice. I want to party with those people. Besides, I don't want to hang out with any hollerback girls. You see, if you turn the word sanguine around, and take the last syllable of the word and put it in front of the first syllable of the word, you end up with something close to Gwen sang. And yes, Gwen Stefani's biggest solo hit was Hollaback Girl about 15 years ago, which went to number one. The song was co-written by Pharrell Williams, who had a huge hit, Happy, in 2014, to which we all, or I presume most of us, saw the late, great John Lewis dancing. What's that, Jeffrey? Jeffrey says, And if you take the second syllable of holler back and put it in front of the first, you have back holler, and that sounds like some place in West Virginia that Bob Kincaid from HeadOn.live would know. I do know back holler. I do. Thank you, Giraffrey, and please support the program, says Joey and Giraffrey at HeadOn.live. Yes, the definition of a hollerback girl is a woman who responds readily to a come-on from a lascivious man. And for my money, that is exactly what all of you women are that voted for Trump again. You not only voted for Trump the first time after his I grab him by the pussy, and then the second time after he refused recently to release his DNA in response to E. Jean Carroll's defamation suit. In lawyer speak, any reasonable person could conclude that Trump not releasing his DNA is clearly an admission of guilt, especially when he summoned his attorney general to have the courts throw out the request. Yes, you white women, 56% of you, voted for an animal who brags about sexually assaulting women and most likely raped a woman. Joey, Giraffrey, there are in excess of 24 credible accusations of sexual assault by Nitwit Nero. That's just a little editorial blue penciling on my part. And all because you thought the economy was good. Well, just for your information, holler back hypocrites, many of you identifying as Christians, the economy was in a recession on March 1st, and that was before the Titanic Dondemic started. The goddess of irony was at work again, as the very reason Trump ran for president was because Gwen Stefani was making millions more on The Voice than Trump was making with The Apprentice. Trump thought this would give him leverage for a better contract from NBC, but instead he became president, and this past election the people told Trump,
"You're fired."
What's that, Jeffrey? Giraffrey says, "If we win the Senate in January in Georgia, then I will be sanguine, and I will dance to Pharrell Williams' song Happy. And you know how the lyrics go, clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth, clap along if you feel like a room without a roof." Yes, Jeffrey likes rooms without a roof because he's, you know, so tall, you know. This has been Joey's Journal for Titanic Tuesday, the 10th day of November, 2020, with Giraffrey. Happy to holler for Warnock and Ossoff. And at least one fund has already raised $1 million for those two candidates. That is helpful and hopeful. And I hope we're all preparing to do what we can to bring success to John Ossoff and Reverend Raphael Warnock on January the 5th, 2021. If those two men could beat Kelly Insider Trader Attila the Hun Loeffler and David Insider Trader Chicken Perdue, it might just be a bit of an indication that 2021, in fact, was not going to look at 2020 and say, "Hold my beer." That in fact, 2021 might represent a return to something resembling decency in this tormented nation. Thank you, John. Thank you very kindly for jumping in. We are now no longer at Sparky's Hated Voltage. We are at 435. Thank you, John. Thank you. Weirder, says Lee in New York. Not really. Stop it, Bob. Today is not so weird. Trump denies he lost. Trump dining on fast food. Trump saying he only could lose by fraud. Republicans doing nothing to oppose him. Republicans echoing that they won. The other votes were fraud. Factory Republicans. Ho-hum. Yeah, but the weirdness still elevates. I'm afraid we're going to have to agree to disagree, Lee. Agree to disagree, Lee. Get off the bus, Gus. No singing! Megan wants to know, is Marcia smiling, or does she just not have the central nervous system? Wait a minute. Yeah, that's worth a somewhat vigorous cowbell. Sparky pointing out in the chat room that agencies have been told to plan Trump's next budget, another sign of election defiance. Jesus. It is... is wearying, isn't it? And probably the biggest news out of the day, if it can qualify as news, as noted, Justice Handmaid had her big hearing today, or sat in on the biggest hearing she's participated in thus far in her brief and fraudulent Supreme Court career. They heard the challenge to the Affordable Care Act. Now, we've talked a lot about this, but not about the particulars of it, the merits or lack thereof of the case. And here's what it boils down to. Here's what these maggot attorneys general are asserting and alleging in this lawsuit. Including, by the way, the philandering, allegedly felonious Attorney General of Texas, and the Attorney General of the state of West Virginia, for whom the state of West Virginia has some part to thank for the opioid crisis that has devastated our state. I'm talking about Pill Push and Patty Morrissey. Well, the bottom line is that back when the Affordable Care Act was held to be constitutional, it was held to be constitutional with the mandate involved, the penalty that people who refused to get health insurance would have to pay via the IRS. The Supreme Court of the United States held that entire act with the limitation that the federal government could not force the Confederacy, mainly, to accept free greenbacks, them free Yankee dollars, but that the mandate and everything was entirely constitutional. And then, once the maggots got hold of Congress, they stripped out the mandate, the coverage mandate, and the penalty that went with it. Particularly, they stripped out the financial penalty that attended the mandate. And then, with the mandate, the financial penalty gone, they said, hey, this ain't constitutional no more. No, really. John Roberts had, old Balls and Strikes, had previously said that the mandate was authorized by Congress's power to tax, and the power to tax is pretty clearly stated inside the Constitution. And arguing today, the Solicitor General of Texas, one Kyle D. Hawkins, said that since the mandate no longer raises revenue, it can't be justified as a tax, and that made it unconstitutional? Okay. All right. What? And this apparently didn't fly with several members of the court. And arguing on the other side, the Solicitor General of California, Michael J. Mongan, said that there was no constitutional problem since there was no penalty for noncompliance. And said that, well, the mandate as it exists now, and this is a quote, doesn't require anybody to do anything. Justice Elena Kagan, having heard the argument, said, that's a heck of a thing. Quote, how does it make sense to say that what was not an unconstitutional command before has become an unconstitutional command now, given the far lesser degree of coercive force? A mighty fine question, Your Honor. And so other justices jumped in and asked questions. Mirabile Dictu, Brat Kavanaugh, who really likes beer and even more likes mortgages that are paid off by shadowy financial donors, speaking to Donald B. Verrilli Jr., who appeared as a lawyer for the House of Representatives on Tuesday. Well, he said that the mandate was meant to operate as a carrot and stick kind of proposition. And he said it's turned out that the carrots worked without the stick. But he went on to say that mandate or no mandate, the statute had to stand because it was so clear, the mandate was so clearly severable from the remainder of the statute. And pointed out to the court, there were efforts to repeal the entire Affordable Care Act. Those efforts failed. And that's when Brat chimed in and said, I tend to agree with you that it's a very straightforward case for severability under our precedents. Old Balls and Strikes said, it's hard for you to argue that Congress intended the entire act to fail if the mandate were struck down, when the same Congress that lowered the penalty to zero did not even try to repeal the rest of the act. Ouch. If you want to follow this whole thing, it's called California v. Texas. It is Supreme Court case number 19-840. And what's at stake is the fact that the trial court, and of course, where else? Texas, said the whole Affordable Care Act was invalid. And then the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans said, yep, definitely unconstitutional, at least as to the mandate, and said, we're going to hold off on how we feel about the rest of the law, so that the trial court could give it further consideration. But at the very least, the nature of the questioning on this day indicated that Breyer and Sotomayor and Kagan and Old Balls and Strikes and Justice Likes Beer, Brat, might vote together to bounce this manifest stupidity right out of the Supreme Court's door, so that the maggot attorney generals can turn around and file another frivolous fucking lawsuit. The password is frivolous. Because that's the bottom line here. This thing never should have been accepted by the Supreme Court. It should have been looked at as a matter of res judicata. We said it was constitutional. It's still constitutional. Cutting something out of it doesn't make it less constitutional. Cutting something out of it makes it more constitutional. Get the fuck out of here. So maybe there's hope for tens of millions of Americans, because remember, this would take away coverage from people who are paying for subsidized for-profit insurance, but it would also, if it was successful, take away the Medicaid expansion from people who don't make enough money to participate in the for-profit scheme portion of the ACA. Subject line, mental illness. Matt in San Francisco writes, as you know, I have a history steeped in dealing with someone who is mentally ill. Those with mental illness can be very intelligent, manipulative, and convince right-thinking people that their own view of reality is warped. This is the very definition, I will add, of gaslighting. The rabbit hole of delusion can be circular and seemingly never-ending. It takes fortitude to stand up, take control, and get that person help. Unfortunately, if that person is viewed to be successful, rich, powerful, and is white, No one seems to be willing to be the one that stands up and does the right thing. Throw it into the theater of politics and mix in the amoral thinking of the Republicans, and it becomes quite the mess for the rest of us. For the love of Pete, someone stand up and let the emperor know he has no clothes, and quite frankly, we are disgusted by his naked pathological insanity. Here, 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 Matt in San Francisco. And it might be instructive to note that in the fable of the emperor's new clothes, none of the grown-ups were willing to do that, to say that the emperor was naked. In fact, it required a child. And I guess this is the kind of thing that a child can't affect, but by God, the young people of this country could. It was young people protesting who brought the vulgarity of the Vietnam War into stark relief. So, we keep hoping that there's a Howard Baker somewhere in the Senate. That person seems not to exist. And I think the difference between Howard Baker of Tennessee in 1974, or was it five? I was a kid. But the difference between him then and every Republican senator now, with very few exceptions, the difference is that Howard Baker could go and speak truth to power with Richard Nixon and never fear what would happen to his political career back home in Tennistan, which wasn't Tennistan at the time. It was just Tennessee. The same dynamic is not at work in 2020 in these waning final 51 days of this benighted plague year. No, the same does not apply. Because I care not from whence you come. If you are a Republican senator, you shit your pants every morning in water-bowling, gut-bending fear of the toll you will pay should you cross the mad emperor we know as Nitwit Nero. Back home, they will not forgive you. Back home, they will not send you back to the Senate. They'll find somebody even wackier and zanier than you who is willing to, I don't know, bite the head off a live bat in proof of his or her dedication to Donald Trump. I mean, look at the wackadoodle in Georgia. Straight up QAnon. And she's off to Congress. Ben Sasse, that new and different kind of Republican from Nebraska. Well, he couldn't get through the White House gates because he was caught on tape telling normal-ish Nebraskans that sure, he stood up to Donald Trump, and he doesn't always agree with Donald Trump. And Nitwit Nero then attacked him on Twitter for it, at which point Ben Sasse shat himself. Because that's the bottom line. They all live in fear. But if he should be convinced that it's got time to go, and should he not be president on January 20th at 12:01 p.m., January 20th, 2021. Why, they'll all be reaching in those suit coat pockets for those packs of cigarettes and lighting up in the bunker. And they'll pat each other on the shoulder and talk about how, oh, by golly, I tell you what, I was about to have to stand up and say that something had to change, and he had to go on and get out and respect the will of the American people. Oh, I tell you what, I'm glad it worked out the way it did. But I was that close to really telling him what I thought. Oh, these Republican paper tigers. God almighty. As far as his refusal to concede, well, Joe Biden today described it. He said, I just think it's an embarrassment, quite frankly. How can I say this tactfully? I think it will not help the president's legacy. So then the reporter said, hey, Joe, you got anything to say to him? And Joe said, Mr. President, I look forward to speaking with you. Because, see, they're still holding out on Joe Biden. By this time, a president-elect should be receiving the presidential daily briefing. Because Nitwit Nero won't let him see what Nitwit Nero himself will not read. Because Nitwit Nero can't read anything with words as big as what are in the presidential daily brief. But Joe Biden said, we're going to be moving along in a consistent manner, putting together our administration. Nothing's going to stop that. And now they're considering suing the General Services Administration to make them start paying the bills like they're supposed to. A little bit of tough news today. Cal Cunningham, who had a considerable lead over Thom Tillis of North Carolina. Well, Cal Cunningham today conceded to Thom Tillis in the race in North Carolina. Tillis could not get a majority of the people of the state of North Carolina to support his reelection effort. He won by 2%, 49% to 47%, out of a margin of about 100,000 votes. Demonstrating some class and some decency, Cal Cunningham said, the voters have spoken and I respect their decision. While the results of this election suggest there remain deep political divisions in our state and nation, the more complete story of our country lies in what unites us. And this is that cotton candy fluff that politicians... What unites us? Our faith and sense of confidence in our democracy, our civic values and common humanity, our shared aspiration to care for one another, and our belief that we live in a country that does exceptional things. Yeah, sure. I mean, really? I mean, I suspect if you spoke privately with Cal Cunningham and said, "Really, you think that the Trump supporters who pick their teeth with their toenail clippings share with the rest of us a faith and sense of confidence in our democracy, our civic values and common humanity, our shared aspiration to care for one another, and our belief that we live in a country that does exceptional things? You really think that, Cal? Because, well, Cal, I ain't, you may be selling, but I ain't buying. Writing with a sense of urgency, our pal Reverbo, the human man, it wrote earlier today. In the meantime, the country has to get fucking reorganized here, now. Yeah. Yeah, we do. Time, as we say here in the hills and hollers, is a wastin'. Kyle with a note, I don't know if they're denying reality to keep the hardcore maggot voters on their side or actually planning a coup, but we got to stop this shit. Also, I listened to the arguments today, and it seems like Kavanaugh is hesitant to go along with destroying the ACA. Interesting. Kavanaugh and Roberts, talking sense, 2020. Strikes again. Yeah. As to the ACA case, Steve in New York says, I listened to some of the oral argument, honestly, during along the lines of what you were saying. I was surprised at how much it seemed that almost everyone didn't buy the argument. In addition, because of the court's ambivalence to actually decide anything, I got a feeling they're going to rule the plaintiffs didn't have standing. Oh, that would be the ultimate punt. Oh, well, you know, we could have gotten to it if we wanted to, but y'all don't have standing to sue, so you got to go. Yeah, you got to leave now. Goodbye. And with regard to the note from Matt in San Francisco, Steve says, I wish I could agree. However, and this is something we thought here, what really scared me about the election is what he and the maggots would do up until the inauguration if he lost. Bob, as much as I hate to relay this ominous admonition, this really isn't over. Neither the death yam nor the rest of the GOP, let's be honest, have thrown all norms and customs out the window. Mitch did it in how he has run the Senate. He's nothing but a Trump equivalent in the Senate. They are on the same page, Bob. Oh, no, no, I disagree with you, Steve. I don't think McConnell is an equivalent to Trump in any appreciable sense. McConnell is far more intelligent and orders of magnitude more evil than Trump or any of those in his circle. Disagreeing without being disagreeable. And Earther with a note, this just in, Trump wins 2020 Nobel Prize in sore losing. In other breaking news, in still dead news today, Antonin Scalia is still dead, alongside one of his lifelong heroes, Generalissimo Francisco Franco, who is also still dead. Mm-hmm. Told you it had the potential to be an awfully damn busy day. And speaking of Titanic intellect, Titanic behavior, you know that Mike Pencilneck Geek, and, of course, Mother. You know that they have had the Rona swirling around all around them and throughout the vice president's office. Well, by Jove, nothing screams out for a vacation like an infestation. So, noting the fact that they have vacationed there for 30 years, today, Mike Pencilneck Geek and Mother have decamped Washington, D.C. in favor of Sanibel Island, Florida. And our good friend Guy James must be positively tickled to have the Pences in residence down that way. Traffic will be an absolute disaster. Nobody was biting, though. Noting that, well, it might be a vacation, but it sure as hell seems like a quarantine. And he's going on, and how about that? He and Mother are going on vacation. Vacation. Even as Nitwit Nero is mounting his campaign to refuse to turn over the reins of power. Get a little help there? What the? Yeah. NBC News reporting Mike Pence is going on vacation, leading the rest of the nation to ask the question, well, hell, when was he at work? And no one's really answered the question as to when he's coming back from vacation. Because, just as a not-so-gentle reminder, here in Merca, the greatest country in the history of the world on earth now today in the universe forever under God, amen, we got 240,000 dead who have gone to their long home while Nitwit Nero and his little Renfield, Pence, have dallied and dithered. I mean, I'm so old. I remember when Republicans would go into paroxysms of self-righteous outrage. If Barack Obama, that Kenyan Muslim usurper, went on a long weekend to Camp David. How dare he? The American people need a president that's going to be on the job all the time. He's the most vacationing, golfinating president we've ever had to wear a tan suit. God, the Republic is falling. But with 240,000 dead, with 130,000 new cases just yesterday, with 10.2 million cases confirmed in the country, well, that seems a lovely time to head down and spend a little quality time sleeping in separate beds with Mother.
Mother.
But of course it is. Of course it is. And no, they're not going to Sanibel Island to go into quarantine and stop saying that. Yeah. Kyle says, this is also an attempt for Pence to save his ass and pretend he had nothing to do with any of this fake fraud allegation stuff. Yeah, I think there's a considerable likelihood of that as well. Randy pointing out, in other news, Ken Lay is still dead and Jack Welch is still dead. Thank you, Randy Radar. Yeah, those two old ghouls have somehow managed not to return from that born, right, et cetera, et cetera. Yesterday, we had the news that Kyle Rittenhouse, that his buddy, Dominic Black of Wisconsin, had served as a straw purchaser for the rifle that Kyle Rittenhouse used to slaughter innocent, peaceful protesters in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Kyle's looking at life. And Dominic Black is looking at 12 years. Well, Mother Rittenhouse, Wendy is her first name. We'll just call her Mother Rittenhouse. Mother Rittenhouse is not happy. Her precious baby boy, her precious murderous, blood-soaked, homicidal baby boy has been extradited to Wisconsin to stand trial, of course. Where no doubt he will try to mount some sort of bullshit, bogus self-defense argument. But Mother Rittenhouse is deeply unhappy with the way this is all playing out. Oh, yes, she is. Quoted in the Chicago Tribune, she said that her precious little pumpkin only slaughtered two and maimed another because they were protesting. And Mother Rittenhouse declaring,
"No one should have been there. The protesters should not have been there. Also, my son shouldn't have been there either."
You're right.
And the police should have helped the businesses out instead of having a 17-year-old kid helping him. And the police should have been involved with these people that lost their businesses. They should have stepped up. I'm not mad at the police. I'm not. They have a hard enough job as it is. I'm 100% right to arm bears, or bear arms. You have to respect the gun, and I told my son, you have to respect the gun, and everything like that.
But really, it is her son's victims who are at fault for getting in front of her son's bullets. Even though they didn't leap in front of her. No. No, he shot him dead in cold blood. And that's just the fact of the matter. Yeah. So we'll just see how that continues to play out. And by the way, I had a note from Brother Deacon Asa. I have a pretty sick feeling about what's happening. I think the degenerate ape is going to run out the clock and force it to go to the house. They're going to steal this thing, Bob. It's not in cut as dry as everyone with a microphone seems to be suggesting. Yeah, I know. Of course, we've known for a while that the game was to try to get it into the house. But God, there has to be a lot of cooperation to make that happen. And we may just get another reminder of how vile and hateful and sick of being a free people this country is. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. Jeremy in Vermont says, yeah, we can all think about perfectly normal Mike and Mother Pence sexy time. Well, that one's on you, Jeremy. There went dinner in the Central Standard Time Zone. Pence's rock and roll career. Hey, Bob. Seeing as Mike Pencil Neck Geek is on vacation, which is on 52 weeks out of 52, I find it interesting that he's on an island almost like he doesn't want anybody to bother him, including his boss. It's situations like this that I, and I'm using this term advisedly, that a man like Mike would be required to look at his boss and say, "Mr. President, as much as I love you, it's time to go." You're right. The maggots here in my state, Talibandiana, would never forgive him. And I can't forgive my brother. I'm not going to remain silent because while my brothers are retired Army officers and generally an intelligent person, he's spouting QAnon bullshit by proclaiming that Joe Biden is a pedophile, never looking at the fact that Donald J. Trump was credibly accused by young women who were 15 at the time that he raped them. Your buddy Dave and the blind. The boys down at the shop. I couldn't agree with you more. The Constitution is clear on that, Randy. Everyone has a right to a pair of bear arms. Roar. Pence works? Hey, Bob, Trump's face does not get orange by itself. And Pence's nose does not get brown by itself. Ooh. Yeah, that was quality. As to young Kyle Rittenhouse and Mother Rittenhouse, I get it, Lee says. Why did they get in the way of the bullets? Why did the pedestrian get in front of the drunk driver? Why did you use your face to stop my fist? It's obvious who's to blame. The ubiquitous other guy. Yeah. And people are beginning to fret more than a little bit. The national security apparatus and a great number of the powdered panjandrums of inside the Beltway have spent considerable time fretting over the firing of Mike Esper. Because Mike Esper actually said something on the way out the door by way of a Parthian shot. And he said, whoever comes after me is going to be a real... I forget the term Mike Esper said, but the word we'd use around here would be real lickspittle. Thinking that Nitwit Nero, by way of throwing a fit and trying to figure out some way to wag the dog and keep himself in office, might be planning something really vile, really nasty, really ugly. Yeah. And then there are the concerns out of the national security establishment about what Trump will do with the classified information he has when he leaves office. Because, you know, presidents don't get security clearances per se. And remember, Jared couldn't qualify for a security clearance. And when he was rejected, Nitwit Nero overrode it and made them give him one anyway. So if he does leave office, and I despise myself for even giving credence to the idea that he wouldn't, well, people who know him and know how he behaves and know what a transactional little shitbird he is, well, they fully expect him to trade on the information the minute he leaves office. The Washington Post, with a report, said no new president has ever had to fear that his predecessor might expose the nation's secrets, as President-elect Joe Biden must with Trump. Not only does Trump have a history of disclosures, he checks the boxes of a classic counterintelligence risk. He's deeply in debt and angry at the U.S. government, particularly what he describes as the deep state. David Priest, a former CIA official, said anyone who is disgruntled, dissatisfied, or aggrieved is a risk of disclosing classified information, whether as a current or former office holder. Trump certainly fits that profile. He also fits the profile of being deeply in debt, which could make his willingness to auction off his knowledge to the highest bidder, well... Jack Goldsmith, who was at the OLC in the Justice Department under George W. Bush, said a knowledgeable and informed president with Trump's personality characteristics, including lack of self-discipline, would be a disaster. The only saving grace here is that he hasn't been paying attention. But as the New York Times pointed out, he's $421 million in the hole. And that's just what's coming due in the immediate future. $421 million that he can't pay. And then there's the legal bills. Yeah. It's a total trick bag. And there's no way that he does not wind up to one degree or another hurting our nation. And so we've gotten very, very close to the midway point of the program. And we have $435 in fundraising to catch up with this far into this second full week of November. And I have an outlay tomorrow of just about exactly that. Doesn't bear going into, but Jesus. And so if we could take a chunk out of that, if not even all of it, but some of it, but yeah, it would be immensely helpful. So what with it being a Tuesday, that means we've got the Green News Report, and we'll go over and check in and see what Brad and Desi have for us. Take it away.
It's Tuesday, November 10, 2020.
They've given us a mandate for action on COVID, the economy, climate change.
Joe Biden and Kamala Harris win the pivotal 2020 presidential election, claim mandate for climate action.
McConnell's already lining up his troops to be ready to make things difficult for the Biden administration.
But they'll face huge hurdles in a Republican Senate. Tropical storm Eta deluges Florida as Theta brews in the Atlantic. Plus, China to phase out gasoline cars by 2035.
Really?
Yes, really.
Cool. All of those stories and more straight ahead from BradBlog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
We have serious problems to deal with, from COVID to the economy to racial justice and climate change. We don't have any more time to waste on partisan warfare.
Really? Then what am I supposed to use for snarky comment, Joe? You ever think of anyone but yourself? This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, I know you've got nothing but good news for us today because Joe Biden is the apparent winner of the 2020 election.
Yes, and he defeated Donald Trump even while running on an aggressive agenda for confronting climate change. Imagine that. But first, Tropical Storm Eta made landfall in the Florida Keys on Sunday, knocking out power and flooding much of South Florida as it moves north. Eta dumped nearly 2 feet of rain in some areas onto already saturated ground, and Miami residents discovered that one of the city's expensive new flood drainage pumps failed. Again, as we go to air, subtropical storm Theta has formed in the Atlantic. It is the 29th storm of the historic 2020 Atlantic hurricane season, breaking the record set back in 2005.
The all-time record, I guess.
Yes.
And we are so far past the English-named storms, we are already into, I don't even know where Theta falls in the Greek alphabet.
Neither do I. On to our main story.
Yeah.
Good news for climate hawks and for all life on the planet. Former Vice President Joe Biden has been projected the winner of the 2020 presidential election, and his victory signals a 180-degree turn for the U.S. on climate action. On Saturday, in his first public remarks as president-elect, Biden put climate change front and center.
What is our mandate? I believe it's this. Americans have called upon us to marshal the forces of decency, the forces of fairness, to marshal the forces of science and the forces of hope in the great battles of our time. And the battle to save our planet by getting climate under control
Biden's win was supported by big majorities, and he received more votes than any other candidate in U.S. history. In remarks on Friday, before results from key battleground states, Biden called the huge turnout a clear mandate from voters to enact his agenda. Young voters under 30 played a critical role, according to an analysis by Tufts University, increasing their turnout over the 2016 election and favoring Biden by more than 25 points over Trump. And climate was clearly on the ballot. Exit polls by Fox News and the Associated Press found 70% of all voters, not just those who cast ballots for Biden, supported, quote, increasing government spending on green and renewable energy.
Wow, good for us for a change.
Once sworn in January, Biden says he will immediately sign executive orders to overturn as much of Trump's rollbacks of pollution and climate regulations as possible. And he says when he rejoins the United Nations Paris Climate Agreement, he will strive to persuade other nations to adopt higher, more ambitious emissions targets as well. Scientists are urging Biden to rebuild the nation's science and research sector and repair public trust in science and the credibility of federal science agencies. However, Biden's agenda faces major hurdles from Republicans in the U.S. Senate. Over the weekend, current Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said that he will control Biden's selection of cabinet officers and key federal agency heads through the Senate confirmation process.
McConnell's already lining up his troops to be ready to make things difficult for the Biden administration, looking to control the type of cabinet that Biden can assemble, the type of hearings that he can have.
Control of the U.S. Senate chamber will be decided by two runoff elections in Georgia on January 5th. Finally, more good news. China has announced it will phase out conventional gasoline vehicles. By 2035, half of all new vehicles sold in China must be electric, plug-in hybrid, or powered by fuel cell. The other half must be hybrids, meaning within 15 years, no new gas or diesel vehicles will be sold in China. And that will have a massive effect on the global car industry.
It will indeed, including on U.S.-made cars sold in China.
Oh, yeah.
For much more on all of these fascinating stories and others we couldn't get to, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find, follow, and share us planet-wide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report. And it might not be the prettiest thing you'll ever see, but it's a new day. Oh, baby, it's a new day. And it might not look like a beautiful sunrise, but it's a new day.
Oh, damn it. The end of the Green News Report snuck up on me. I had a little pre-pitted collection of Henry's olives, and was snacking happily away, and then there was the closeout music. Damn it! These things happen. We are at the halfway point of this Titanic Tuesday program, and by the way, I don't anticipate it being an issue, but tomorrow I get a very early start. And then I run around like a chicken with my head cut off. And I anticipate that I really should be back in time for the program. But I'd say there's like a 5% chance that I won't. And then the oral surgeon consult that was scheduled for last week got rescheduled to this week. And that's on Thursday. And that's at 2:30. And again, I should be back in time to be on the air, but I'd give it about a 5 to 10% chance that I won't. So that's just sort of a program note for the time being. Thank you very kindly to Robert in Australia putting forward a $100 challenge. That's really helpful. Thank you, Robert. It's the up over down under challenge. Come on, people, says Robert. Cough up. Thank you, Robert. Hopefully you will inspire people, and if that challenge is met, that'll take us down to, let's see, Irwin just took us down to 4:30, and so if Robert's challenge is met, that'll take us down to 2:30, which will be a huge step forward and a tremendous help. Thank you, Robert. Thank you very kindly indeed. And let's run over to the stress line. Reggie has been waiting patiently. Hey, Reggie.
How you doing, Bob? Happy Titanic Tuesday to you all.
Well, thank you, and to you as well.
Well, the only thing that's left to do is to drag his big, fat, orange, orangutan-looking ass out of the White House. Just make sure that he's fully tranquilized first, and for safety measures and reasons, you know, just for precaution's sake. Make sure that he's bound, gagged, and strapped down on the gurney as they wheel him out of there. As they roll his ass on out of there, strapped down on the gurney where he's strapped down, because he can't do anything because he's bound and gagged, wearing a straitjacket and a gag in his mouth. What do you think about that, Bob?
A little Thorazine dart goes a long way, Reggie.
Good.
Right in the neck. And then he gets all calm, and the nice young men with the clean white coats can come and take him away, as the song says. You've heard "They're Coming to Take Me Away," ha-ha, haven't you?
Yes, I have, Bob.
Well, that.
Yes, I have. But we got to get Joe and Kamala in first. We got to get them in there first. You know?
I agree.
But that won't be until January the, 20th or the 29th? You know?
Yeah.
But some of these assholes won't. He says he won't concede. You know? And some of these assholes won't get out of the way. Now, what do we do about the Senate?
What do we do about the Senate? We pour every ounce of energy and determination and money into that race.
Get them the hell out.
And if you're physically present in Georgia and you're able to do it, you get out and you knock on doors and you phone bank and you make sure that people make their voices heard in this election.
Right.
Because make no mistake, the Georgia Secretary of State will try to make it hard to cast a ballot.
Yeah, that's true. We got to get rid of them first, too, man. They'll make it very, very hard.
Well, no, I mean, he's there. He's not going anywhere. We have to deal with what he does. But the fact of the matter, Reggie, what was that?
That was my back door. I was just closing up my back door.
Okay,
go ahead, Bob.
It's a mite squeaky. Might want to put a little oil on that.
Thanks, Bob. I remember to do that.
Okay, that's fine.
About the Senate.
It's phone banking. It's door knocking. And we have to know a little something. And maybe your fellow Georgian Steve from Georgistan might be able to find out something for us. He's been doing some yeoman work. Coming up with details on these Atlanta senatorial or Georgia senatorial elections, and so the question becomes one of not just the fact that the runoff election is on January 5th, but there's bound to be early voting.
Right.
And what's that gonna look like, and how many days of it will there be? And what's the position of the Georgia Secretary of State in the middle of a pandemic on absentee ballots?
Right. I just hope that if we're done getting him talking his fat ass out of there, sedated, heavily sedated, what about the rest of his goon squad? I'm talking about Kyle, Little Miss Cocktail Waitress, Kylie McEnany, you know.
Did you just call her Little Miss Cocktail Waitress?
Yes, I did, Bob.
Jesus, Reggie.
Little Miss Cocktail Waitress, you know, Mrs. McEnany, as you call her. How are we going to get her ass out of there? We got to replace her with somebody else.
Well, look, the whole administration follows him out the door.
Good. What, dragged out kicking and screaming, or walking out willingly?
Well, some of the younger and lower level staffers are beginning to sweat because they live paycheck to paycheck. You don't make the big-time government dollars until you've been around for a while. And so there are people in his administration, younger workers, who damned well need to know that they're going to have a paycheck after January 20th.
Yeah.
And so they're trying to quietly look around for a job, and they're finding that they may very well be unemployable, and they can't go looking for jobs in Republican Senate and House offices because they'll rat on them. And the personnel manager inside the White House, Reggie, has said that he will bust the ass of anybody he catches sending out a resume.
Right. Why would he do that? That's freedom of, I don't know, employment, meaning, well, that's freedom of something. That's freedom of employment or choosing to work where you want to work. They got to work. They got to eat. They got to pay bills and whatnot.
Yeah, but you know what? As far as the upper echelons of the Maggot administration are concerned, Reggie, they need to just sit there and be ready to swallow the cyanide pill, just like all the other good maggots.
Right. So they don't know what to do with themselves, right, Bob? Once January 20th of 2021 finally arrived.
Well, four years ago, I'm sure going to work for the Maggot administration seemed like a great career move. Because hell, you're working in the White House, right?
Right.
How's that not going to look great on your resume? Four years later, you realize it doesn't look so great on your resume.
Yeah, look god awfully bad and embarrassing.
Oh, and right, by the way, I had an answer from Steve in Georgia Stan, Reggie. He says, that absentee ballots will be available for the runoff election on January 5th, but that you have to affirmatively request the ballot. Now, I don't know yet, and Steve might follow up. He says he's got more details coming. I don't know if the simple fact of the pandemic is enough to qualify for an absentee ballot.
Right.
But Steve tells me you can fax the request.
Right. That's true. But we got to get these people the hell on up out of there. They corrupted the White House. They tainted it, corroded it. And, you know, poisoned it and smelled it up with this stench. You know, Joe and Kamala have to disinfect the White House from, well, hell, all over, I'm afraid. You know, inside, outside, all over. You know what I'm saying, Bob?
Oh, yeah.
They got to, you know, disinfect it and bring some full-grown adults back to the Supreme. It brings some full-grown adults back to the Supreme Court and get the turtle and him and his lackeys and cronies and goon squads out of there too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We gotta get Mitch out. We gotta get Mitch out.
Well, and so that brings you back to Georgia.
Yeah, exactly.
But that also brings us back to someone else that I prefer not to talk about, but because anytime I mention him, it's usually bad news. And that's Joe Manchin.
Right.
Are you familiar with what the senior senator from West Virginia has done of late?
No, I haven't. I haven't heard about him lately.
Okay, you got your hockey puck and your duct tape handy. You might want it, Reggie.
Right.
He gave an interview Joe did on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda saying he didn't care if the Democrats did get a majority. He wouldn't never know how, no way, never support no expanding of the Supreme Court, nor would he support getting rid of the filibuster. He said if there ain't no filibuster, there ain't no point in having no Senate. Even though, historically, the Senate, the filibuster does not exist in the Constitution. It is a Senate tradition, and it's not even a tradition that goes all the way back to the origins of the Senate. Now, how's about that?
Right.
But Joe, by God, ain't gonna be part of no Democrats acting like no damn Democrats.
Right. Well, we got to get rid of him, too.
Well, no. See, that's too easy an answer, Reggie. You can't just say we got to get rid of them because, you know, the humorless guys with the skinny black ties and the microphones in their wrists and shoes don't take kindly to that kind of thing. Yeah. And so, consequently, well, okay, it's a little complicated, but the only way to neuter Mitch McConnell.
Yeah.
And I didn't know you could do that to a turtle, but apparently, who knows?
Right.
Is to win those two seats in Georgia.
Right.
That's it. That's the only way to do it.
Right.
And then have Kamala Harris break every 50-50 tie, assuming that Joe Manchin votes with the Democrats.
Right.
Then, in addition, you also, like, you know, Joe Manchin, he's not going to be up for re-election until 2024.
Right.
And we tried the stupid strategy of running a primary candidate against him. I mean, we didn't. The candidate did.
Right.
And, you know, she got thumped by 35-plus points.
Right.
And this is the same candidate who got just absolutely varnished by Shelley Moore Capito.
Right.
So that didn't work.
Mm.
And in a place like West Virginia, there's just a hard conversation to be had that that a lot of people don't want to have. I mean, for instance, one of the darlings of the so-called progressive side in this state has turned into a full-on maggot conspiracy theorist. She's out there tweeting insane horse shit about these ballot fraud conspiracies that the maggots are braying about. It's frustrating.
Right.
It's frustrating because nobody seems to understand how to convey progressive values without at the same time coming across as some sort of preachy, self-righteous member of the purity patrol. I mean, it really is. It's frustrating as hell, Reggie.
Right. I wonder who that person is.
Who what person is?
Well, you said that she used to be a progressive.
Oh, yeah. Well, her name is Charlotte Pritt. At one point in time, she was the Democratic nominee for governor. In fact, in 1996 in West Virginia, 24 years ago, she was the Democratic nominee for governor. But since then, she's morphed into somebody more suited to be a guest on Alex Jones than any kind of person with progressive values.
Right. You don't think they dangled that proverbial green carrot in front of her called money to get her to turn?
I'd almost feel better if I thought that was the case. That would at least be a rational reason for doing that, Reggie.
Right.
But right. I don't think she had to be bought. She just decided that that was the road she was going to go down.
Right.
And this is somebody that progressive groups in this state tend to book to come and speak to them.
Right.
Which means that the that whatever passes for a progressive movement in this state is in a damn shambles.
Yeah. And it needs to be fixed, well, cleaned up and fixed. Right, Bob? Or
well, I don't know. I don't know. Right? I don't know that you can clean it up, Reggie. Better people than are doing it now have to start doing it.
Right.
And we have to learn. I mean, if progressives are ever going to get a toehold in this state, we got to figure out a better way to talk to our fellow West Virginians.
Right.
Because, you know, West Virginians will respond positively to the, hey, look here, we are going to fuck you. We are going to blue you, screw you, and tattoo you. But you know what? We're going to tell you that Jesus loves that we're doing it to you.
and we're not going and we're not going to get your guns, but we're going to blow up all the mountains so there won't be nowhere to hunt, no goddamn deer. But you're going to love us for it, because otherwise the gay agenda is going to come and drive a knife through your Bible and make your mama all Lebanese.
Right.
And see, this is the kind of elitism that I just decried a couple of minutes ago. I'm being a sarcastic asshole, but I'm at pains to figure out another way. What?
Right. I just hope that.
If your fascination with a little wad of cells exceeds your concern with your ability to feed your own damn family, how does anybody get through that? Because you're not dealing
with rational people.
Precisely.
You're not dealing with rational people. You're dealing with psychos, right?
No, not psychos. Just people who have been brainwashed and can't get out of the cult. I've used the analogy on a number of occasions of late of little Cindy and little Timmy. Who hooked up with the Moonies and got themselves in a cult, and mommy and daddy are worried.
Mm-hmm.
And so they hire somebody to go and grab little Timmy and little Cindy and take them to a cabin in the woods and deprogram them.
Right.
And, you know, for the first 6 weeks, couple of months, whatever, they sit there and they howl and they bark and they grunt and they groan and they shriek and they scream and they let me out of here. I want to go back to the Lord. They understand me, until you can break through that programming.
Right.
But I don't know how you do that on a state or a nationwide basis, Reggie.
I don't either, Bob. Unless you break them out of that matrix style bubble that they've been in so very long.
And they like it, you know. As
give them the red, give them the red or the blue pill or something, right?
I mean, they put Republicans in office, and the first thing the Republicans did was come and take away their ability to make a living wage by repealing state prevailing wage and imposing right to work for less in this state, and the rank and file West Virginians said, "Hit me again, I can put a little stank on it."
Right. Well, I just hope that Joe Biden can resurrect that and put it back where it belongs, reinstate that. The minimum, you know.
Well, he can't.
Working for maximum rate.
And frankly, we've got too many problems in this country. It's like Humphrey Bogart said in Casablanca. To paraphrase, the problems of one little piss ant state don't add up to a hill of beans in this crazy mixed up world.
Right. Right. But you know, I hope he can fix everything right. What is now wrong? You know, once he and Kamala finally get in there next year, you know, I hope he can make everything better.
Well, it's gonna be slow progress, but at the same time, it has to be done with a profound level, a degree of urgency, Reggie. Because again, they've only got, assuming we get, and that's what I'm gonna do. I've got to, and you know how I feel about the word believe, but I got to believe that we're going to get Joe and Kamala into office, and then they've got to go hell bent for leather for the first session of Congress, because that's where the work gets done. That's where, and there won't be that much work done in the second session of this Congress.
Right, they got a clean house.
Because there never is. Because in the second session of Congress, everybody has to start sweating and working to stay in office during the midterm elections.
Right. You're right. They got a clean house, Bob. They got a clean house.
Well, I mean, we got to hold the house, and we got to build on what we got in the Senate. But Reggie, it's been a good conversation. Find those relevant dates for the runoff there in Georgia where you are. And if you're able, do what you can.
Well,
to help make Ossoff and Warnock a reality.
Well, they got to clean up Congress and the Supreme Court too, Bob. Don't forget about those two. branches. They got to clean that up.
Well, but clean up is kind of an airy. It's kind of an airy phrase. What we got to do is get power and use power.
Yeah.
Now, where you are in Georgia, listen to these dates.
Yeah.
November the 18th, 8 days from now, is the earliest date that a registrar can mail an absentee ballot for the runoff to a person requesting one. And thanks to Steve and Georgia Stand for this.
Right.
The voter registration deadline to vote in the runoff is December 7th.
Right.
Early voting begins in Georgia.
Right.
In person begins on December 14th. Right. And then the final runoff election day is January the 5th.
Right.
So okay, you got that? If you want to, if you're in Georgia and you want an absentee ballot, you can request it no earlier, or well, you can request it, and the earliest they can send it out is the 18th. I presume if you wanted to, you could get your absentee ballot in ballot request in tomorrow, but they will not mail it out until November the 18th. If you take an absentee ballot and you decide to vote by mail, the minute you get the thing, you make it a priority. I don't care what else is going on. You get that envelope, you open it, you read the directions carefully because it will be as clear as mud because we're talking about a Confederate state.
Right.
You vote, you do everything you have to put the ballot back together correctly.
Right.
Following all the directions. And if at all possible, you hand carry it to your local clerk or board of elections, whoever receives those things. And if everybody, if everybody who voted for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris in Georgia votes for Ossoff and Warnock, we can have those seats, Reggie.
Okay, Bob.
So you take care of yourself. It's good talking to you. Have yourself a good week, and we will talk soon, okay?
Okay, and happy Veterans Day to you and yours tomorrow.
Indeed. And remember and remember the origins of Veterans Day. The 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month is when the slaughter stopped in Europe in 1918.
But again, I just hope they can get his ass on up out the White House, you know, with no problem.
I get it. You know. I do. I get it.
Without him kicking and screaming, you know, and crying, you know.
He's already doing that, Reggie. You take care of yourself. You hear now?
You do too, Bob.
All right, later.
Stay dry and warm, okay?
Trying to. This is the last of the pretty days. We'll talk later. Bye now.
All right, Bob.
And that's our buddy Reggie calling from Decatur. Had a note from Dave number 11, who, by the way, just knocked $20 out of the up over down under challenge, as put forward by Robert in Australia. Thank you, Dave. Dave says, alert to West Coast olive lovers. Oh, if only West Coast. Why is it always in? Drop everything and go to your local grocery outlet store. In the Nosh aisle, there are four flavors of olives from a company called Wild Fair. Go directly to the green olives stuffed with sun-dried tomato, oh my God, and put every single jar in your basket. There's no weird stuff inside, and every olive is a my God experience. Grab a few jars of the other three flavors and head to the checkout, $3.99 a jar, product of Turkey. Wait, green olives stuffed with sun-dried tomato? I can barely stand the idea. Oh, my God, that's beautiful. I wonder if maybe I went to Big Lots, you know, because they buy that kind of stuff. I wonder if, well, you know what, it's going to be worth a stop at Big Lots just to see if a little bit of Wild Fair olives might be tucked away in there, too. But out on the West Coast, again, grocery outlet, the Nosh aisle, Wild Fair, green olives stuffed with sun-dried tomatoes. Dave doesn't tell me what the other three flavors are, but I'll bet they're good, too. Damn, that sounds good. And just a quick update. The number of COVID-19 hospitalizations in the United States has hit an all-time high. At present, we have 61,964 Americans hospitalized with COVID. In the state of North Dakota, which did not and continues not to take this pandemic seriously, North Dakota has reached 100% hospital bed saturation. That means if you are having a heart attack, or if you're in a car wreck, or any other thing needing emergency treatment, and you're in North Dakota, you're kind of fucked. Damn. Reggie's right. Our only hope is getting Joe Biden and Kamala Harris in office. And that means, that we've got 71 days to ride out this hellstorm. Gotta be strong. Gotta, you know, stiff upper lip and all of that. And we have to be determined. Steve from Georgistan says, an important runoff component. Where's the libertarian vote going to go? They each got about 2%. This thing is so tight on the margins it could matter. Hopefully they stay home. But remember, I think it was the Purdue-Ossoff race. I can't remember which one it was, but there was some Sparkle Pony that was running there in one of those two races. And I hope the Sparkle Pony vote goes to the Democrat. But that's a good point. That's a good point, Steve. Jake says positivity rate in Ohio hit 10% today. Damn. Whew. Frightening. Frightening. And so let's run over to the phones. Flavio. I haven't talked to Flavio in a while, at least not, you know, not telephonically. We correspond a bit, but haven't heard from Flavio in a bit. Hey, Flavio, how are you? Thanks for
good,
the Mark,
how are you?
Thanks for the Mark Twain quote.
Yeah, I don't know why there's an echo on my end, but I'm going to continue talking. You don't hear an echo, right?
No, I do not, and it will resolve. It's just one of those weird Skype things.
Okay. I forget this is a Skype line. What I wanted to say was that, I don't know if you know, but, AOC, granted an interview to, this guy, Herndon, I think is his name, over at the New York Times this weekend.
Yeah.
And she said, you know, if, the DNC thinks that, you know, John Kasich gave him Wisconsin, Michigan, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Minnesota, you know, Dick Gray-Gray. She said something like that. Or she's very bummed out, you know, because that's very dangerous if they think that. Because right now, you know, she and the progressive, the caucus are throwing all their weight behind Ossoff and the Reverend Warnock. And they're doing it by canvassing, by, you know, talking to people one-on-one, you know, getting people out to vote, getting people registered, you know, doing the gumshoe work, you know, the footwork, you know, wearing shoe leather. Work that it takes to get people involved. And what do you think of that? Are you still mad at her?
What made you think I was mad at her?
No, I mean, maybe I'm misinterpreting something, you know? It's
unrealistic to think that that there's an electable AOC in every House district in the country. There isn't. I mean, I will stand by what I've said previously, that in a great number of states in this country, she could not get elected dog catcher.
But if, you know,
she truly went on the ground and talked about
able to see a doctor when you need to see a doctor.
Yeah, that's great. That's great.
Being able to put food on your table when you need food on your table.
Yeah. Okay. Let's take those meat and potatoes issues and put them in a place like West Virginia. You be AOC. I'm the West Virginian you're talking to. You be AOC.
I don't know if I could do that.
I mean, there's no funny voices involved. You just talk to me. Good God fearing, upstanding, Bible believing, Christ centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, West Virginian, and you tell me what it is you support.
I'm not going to tell you anything, Bob. I'm going to listen to you.
You're going to listen to me, girly. I want to know why you support murdering little babies in the womb. That's what I want to know, girly.
Oh, I just want to know what is it you need? Is everything okay?
I need you Democrats to stop killing babies. That's what I need you Democrats to do. And you know what else I need you Democrats to do? I need you Democrats to quit coming and trying to take my guns away. That's what I need.
Y'all trying to take away
our AR-15s, and you trying to make and you trying to kill little precious babies in the womb.
No, actually, we want babies to grow up big and strong, and you know, maybe.
Well, then why do you support abortion?
I'm Catholic. I'm personally against abortion, and
I don't care about you being one of them Catholics. I'm a Christian.
That too, I'm a Christian too. I'm personally against abortion. I want to know what is everything okay over here?
Everything ain't okay at all.
I noticed your streets aren't paved.
Now you quit that. We got perfectly good paved interstate highways and paved local roads heck, our gravel roads is even pretty good. I mean, that's good road. You probably one of them New York City elitists what ain't never had to drive on a gravel road. I tell you what, gravel roads is just fine sometimes.
How's your water doing?
We drank it. We buy it from the Bally World. We can't drink it out. We can't drink it out of the tap because, well, the coal company's pisoned that a long while back. But we seem to be getting okay. I mean, little Cletus Jr., his hair falled out and his teeth rotted in his head the other day. But you know that you got to make some sacrifices if you're going to support the coal industry.
Okay, what if you didn't have to? I understand. Are you that pessimistic that if I'm not very good at, you know, but I suspect that a good communicator would try to get at what it is they fear.
I'm a little bit over the top here, but not by much.
What it is they fear, what it is they desperately need.
Well, they're afraid. What do they fear, Flavio? They're afraid the liberals is going to come along and close their churches and take their guns and make everybody go and have abortions.
Well, then they're just not. They're just going to have to convince them otherwise. That's not true.
There's no convincing them because you can stand there and talk all day long, but then they go home and they turn on Fox or they turn on Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground. Or they go and they read their favorite right-wing Facebook pages. I mean, and that this is what I mean, and I'm not being critical of you, my friend.
Right, no.
But I mean, you know, people
I'm
people
not
who live
acting.
No. That's fine. It's not about your qualities as an actor. It is about the how profound the differences are between states with nominally effective progressive politics and those that don't have it.
But you yourself said West Virginia had some.
Yeah, we do. We do. We absolutely do. And a lot of them go wandering off over to the Mountain Party, which is our excuse for the Greens.
Oh, okay.
And then the ones that don't do that.
I never heard of them.
The ones that don't do that, Flavio, wind up, you know, following whatever candidates we can put out there, and we put out terrible candidates. I mean, what does it say when the same politician has been waxed by both senators? I mean, just poleaxed, and keeps coming back for more.
Who are you referring to?
I'm not gonna speak this person's name.
Okay. You're talking about Ojeda?
No. Rich Ojeda was not the nominee for the Senate seat for the Democrats this year. All right. I mean, I'll just lay it out. I'll probably get attacked for it, probably offline, because they're real, real hateful.
Okay, fine.
Well, you can say okay, fine. You're not the one who deals with it.
No.
But the fact of the matter is, in 2018 and in 2020, and this is just a fact. Cenk Uygur has ginned up a pack and some people associated with him to come in and use an individual in this state. And run them for Senate, and let them be paid a salary out of the fundraising, and a per diem stipend, and mileage, and costs, and they fundraise. You know, bless his heart, Cenk Uygur. Wouldn't know left hand from Fraser's bottom in West Virginia, but he felt privileged enough to come in here and back a candidate who just gets waxed.
Mm-hmm. That's not good.
No, it's not. But I mean, I'm talking about West Virginia. But you know, if you ask Todd or David in South Carolina, Stan, they'd probably tell you much the same about their state. Mm-hmm. The Democratic Party in Alabama is so moribund that loads and loads and loads of Democratic ballot positions don't even get filled during election years anymore. And the ones that do run as Democrats sit there trying to run so hard to the right that they seek to become indistinguishable from Republicans.
Yeah.
And as Dr. Bill was talking on Monday, you know, you get candidates around here who run for office and damned well will not put the word Democrat on their yard signs. Now, it's getting obviously it's getting better in a place like Georgia. Florida is just unfathomable, but Tennessee, apparently North Carolina, even though they got a Democratic governor, good God knows Mississippi, Louisiana, Arkansas, Missouri, Iowa, Texas,
Missouri,
Oklahoma.
Who missed one there? Representative.
Yeah, well, they had a victory there, but that state is blood red. I mean, doubt me, ask Carol Baker.
No, I don't doubt you, but I mean, does that give you any hope that maybe
Running in a largely city-based district in any red state is a big difference between from running out in the countryside.
No, so it's like the Madison effect.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You may get elected in Madison, Wisconsin, but you're surrounded by red.
Well,
yeah.
It's like, you are a greater practitioner of the art of word knowing than I. But aren't the origins of the word pagan basically in a word meaning country people?
Yeah, yeah. Peasant, paysan. Paysan means a person of the country.
Yeah. Paisano. Which paysan translates as, you know, listen here, country boy. That's what continues to fuck Texas. If Houston and Dallas and Fort Worth and El Paso and San Antonio and Austin and Lubbock and Amarillo, and if they determined the outcome, Texas would be blue. But in those vast, wide open spaces, there's just enough of a scattering of pagans to keep the state red. And, you know, through the magic of gerrymandering, you make their votes more valuable than somebody in Houston.
And that's strange, isn't it? I mean, how this gerrymandering thing, it still baffles me that they can do that. You know, that they can pick their voters. You know, it's not the people pick their politicians. The politicians pick their people. What the hell? What kind of a democracy is that?
True, but that's just the reverse of, say, the coin in UK parliamentary elections. You can run for MP of West Eastcheap and never have actually been there or be able to find it on a map. Or at least it was that way in the 20th century. So to that extent, you know, you're picking your people too. There's at least in our country, there's at least a nominal requirement that you have some passing familiarity with the district you're hoping to represent. And then, of course, as a Republican, with any luck at all, you can gerrymander yourself into a permanent position. Because all you got to do is hang around the Congress for a couple of terms, and all of a sudden, it's one of the easiest retirement plans to get in this country. And, you know, you spend a couple of terms in the Congress, you come out at a significant percentage of your pay, and you've got the best health care in the United States of America for the rest of your natural born days. It's a great racket.
Yeah.
But you got to last more than one term. That really is the key to the benefits program.
But I mean, is there no way to combat gerrymandering? I mean,
sure there is, but you have to have the legislature and you have to have the courts.
Yeah, and then I don't know why the Democrats let the courts go too. I mean,
we let everything go.
You know, they should have been a little bit more combative, I think.
And like in the state of West Virginia, part of the reason that we now have 2/3 supermajorities in both houses of our legislature, and we've got to make West Virginia great big old Governor Jim Justice, and the Republicans control the Supreme Court, is because the Democrats have no damn bench. I mean, Democrats have a hard time getting elected dog catcher here. Because we cannot get over that God, guns, and gays, and and gynecology, 4 G's.
God. God, guns, gays, gynecology. Yeah. I'm just trying to find some hope in the middle of this. And I know you don't, you're not, you're
well, I mean, the hope is to be found in the places in this country that are returning to their senses. And that are staying with their senses. Look at Wisconsin. Look at Michigan. Look at Pennsylvania. You know, they were not willing to be stupid 2 election cycles in a row.
There's a lot of organizing that went on too, though.
Right, and see in a crummy little state like West Virginia, or Alabama or Mississippi, it's considered throwing good money after bad to spend campaign money there with the understanding, the caveat being the Doug Jones race in 2017, and that was sui generis.
Yeah.
Haley just sent me a note and said, regarding Southern Democrats, I caught hell from the state Democratic chair for suggesting the Arkansas Democratic Party was moribund. We had no candidate for U.S. Senate or Arkansas Congressional District 1, several state Senate and House districts, including my House district. My lame duck Dino state senator voted with the hardcore right in the state Senate for an abortion ban. If Roe versus Wade is ever overturned, he lost by 20 points to a pudgy millennial named Ben Gilmore, whose brother is a huge political consultant and an ally of Governor Asa Hutchinson. Tom Cotton's only opposition from a fucking libertarian. No independent, green candidates, and the Dem that filed dropped out 2 hours after the filing deadline.
Well, that's in Arkansas.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, and then maybe you got to find out how to combat, networks like Fox that just are spewed.
Well, unless you can figure out a way, unless you can figure out a way to put a progressive on the couch in every household to just sit there and say, that's a lie, that's a lie, that's a lie, that's a lie. I don't know how you combat that. And that's the reason that the money was poured into the creation of and maintenance of Fox News. You know, Rupert Murdoch is so filthy rich that he doesn't care how much money he loses. He is there to accomplish a goal. And that is the ruination of liberal democracy. He did it in Australia. And then, thanks to the Telecommunications Act of 1996, we volunteered to let him do it to us. Good God Almighty. I wish I was kidding.
No, I know that. That was the beginning of the end, I think.
Yeah, it played a big role.
Wonder why. I still don't understand. Did Bill ever regret that?
I don't think anybody's called on him to regret that. But it is damned well.
He signed it into law.
Yeah. It was a Republican fetish object, and so that was one of his meet in the middle show the world that he could work with Republicans moments.
Not realizing that he was giving away the bank and the keys and...
Oh, I need you to clarify something. When we were role-playing a moment ago, Darlene in Connecticut says, I'm sorry, but with the recent role-play here, I'm more than a little confused. Is there any evidence to suggest that AOC is personally against abortion? Did she ever say that, or is that just Flavio's position?
No, just saying that typically, it's not. I'm not speaking for her. Typically, Catholics are not for abortion. Okay. Most Hispanic.
I mean, is she really no kidding Catholic?
She was raised Catholic. Yeah, I don't know if she's currently practicing. I don't know.
Right, but that's what I'm getting at. There's a lot of people who were raised Catholic and aren't anymore.
Right, right. I'm just saying. I don't know. Puerto Ricans. I don't know. Puerto Ricans are different from Mexicans. I know Mexicans are very religious.
Oh, yeah.
Which is why you have some of the biggest maggots with Hispanic surnames out in the Southwest, okay?
Sure, but they can't even begin to compete in terms of assholery with, say, the Cuban community in South Florida.
Right, right.
Those people are still pissed off about something that happened 60 years ago.
Ilian Gonzalez thing? Or the...
No, just the whole Cuban Revolution.
The Cuban Revolution, yeah.
Darlene said I would find it shocking if she was and would prefer she not be associated with that sexist, unrealistic viewpoint, even if in a role play.
Right, no, I'm not suggesting I know
the larger point wasn't the AOC part. The larger point is that you can come into Mississippi or Alabama or West Virginia with all the progressive policies in the world. You can come in and say, we're gonna let you go to the doctor every time you're sick, and we're gonna get dentists, and you're gonna eat steak every Sunday, and on every other Sunday you're gonna get lobster. And everybody's going to get, we're going to Oprah you. You get a car. And everybody's going to have a job. And they will still look at you and go, yeah, but what about the fetuses? I kid you not. Oh, and to answer your question about Bill Clinton and the Telecommunications Act, James answers, he did suggest a half-hearted regret over the Communications Act, as I recall.
Yeah, because that's what is making it so hard for us to compete. Because I mean, Fox is a behemoth. It's everywhere.
Yeah, well, that was the reason. That was the point. It was a matter of making them ubiquitous. I think I'm the last person in America who simply will not turn that channel on.
Oh no, I won't either. I mean, I find it hard to go to stores, they have the thing blaring. I mean, I guess they do it because they show football in there, and the Packers are on Fox,
Sure.
So that's, I think that's the only reason Festival puts it on, the local grocery chain, which is Super Value out of Minnesota.
Okay.
And, you go everywhere, and it's like they got Fox on airports, the train station, the bus station.
Yeah, and of course there is some modest difference between a local Fox affiliate versus Fox News Channel cable.
Right.
But just to give you an idea, I mean, what a white supremacist Tucker Carlson is, right?
Oh, yeah, biggie.
So, to give you an idea of how intense is the insistence on ideological purity among the maggots, Tucker Carlson made a mild statement about, let's all stop lying here, talking about these bullshit allegations of fraud, and he was deluged with calls for boycotts, calling him everything except a child of God.
He said that?
Yeah. and the maggots just tore him a brand new one, because he was not marching lockstep. There is only one position, and it is whatever the psychotic position of the day is that has vomited forth from the mouth of Nitwit Nero. And I'm not offering any excuses. I mean, I actually torture myself with the question of, you know, how do we get through? And
no,
and I want to,
seem insurmountable.
And you know, understanding how I feel about the word believe, I have to believe there is some way. But I can tell you that this state, in its earliest days, happily voted for Republicans until the Great Depression. And as the old saying goes, when the belly rumbles, the head will learn.
Isn't the belly rumbling now? Or
nah.
Maybe
not enough? Because the cable's still on, and Walmart, Wally World is open. The maggots are pissed off because we've had the devil's own time trying to have a damn football season. And if we can't have a football season, which you play outsides, how are we gonna have a boys and girls basketball season? Because you got to play that insides.
Mm-hmm. And they don't think much about the pandemic, huh?
And it don't get cold enough here for us to play that heathen Yankee hockey, because the rivers don't freeze up solid enough, nor our ponds.
Yeah, you know, I'm not following sports much because I don't believe that. I mean, maybe I'm being too much of a.
Oh no, God Almighty! Not too far south of you, South Bend, Indiana. Last Saturday night, the University of Notre Dame hosted a spontaneous super spreader event. I mean, it was a hell of a football game. Notre Dame beat the number one Clemson Tigers in what, like quadruple overtime or something insane like that. Final score was 47-40. Mm-hmm. Notre Dame won, and the 11,000 human beings that had been allowed into the stadium immediately rushed the field at the end of the game and were butthole to belly button and LARPing and smollicking and lollygagging and grabulating all over each other and spewing and spraying and hollering, "Woo, go Irish!" And so God only knows how many cases of the Rona will come out of that.
So that was my thing. I mean, I'm not watching European soccer. I'm not watching American football. I'm not watching anything because I'm like going, you're insane. Y'all are irresponsible. I don't care how many, you know, you're just like, no, this, you know, so I'm not watching, you know, my friend Tom is always telling me, oh, you know, about the Packers. And I'm like, I'm not even there. I'm not even in one ear, out the other.
Yeah, I'll catch a Mountaineer score every now and then. And hey, you know, my heartbreak factor has gone down dramatically in this football season. Because, you know, God made Mountaineer football to train the faithful. And it's an exercise, you know, for well over 100 years, it is an exercise of maybe next year-ism. I had a note from Matt in San Francisco, subject line, "Let it go." "I've always thought that we're just not wired to think of how the mechanism of power can be corrupted. We are wired to see the good in people and in government. The other side is wired to be afraid of someone taking something from them, so they think that is how everyone else is motivated. Therefore, they connive and fix things to benefit themselves at the cost of others. And until we get that, we're doomed to keep repeating the same dance." And I think there's a lot of truth in what Matt says, and it kind of dovetails with what Roger in Oregon said in the chat room. "As long as folks can still pay their cell phone bill, cable TV, and buy gas for their car, we're not bad enough for an FDR revolution."
Yeah, and that dovetails with the meme that's been going around. You know, that they think, you know, Donald Trump thinks that, you know, everybody's cheating because that's how he got by in life, by cheating. So they think that everybody else gets by cheating.
Yeah. And by the way, Darlene in Connecticut sent me along a link from a while back. AOC fetal heartbeat bill, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says on Twitter, abortion bans are a brutal form of oppression and are about controlling women's sexuality after Alabama and Ohio pass heartbeat laws. And you know what? She's absolutely correct.
Mm-hmm.
And I would give anything to see a progressive in the vein of Bernie or AOC or Rashida Tlaib or Ayanna Pressley.
They all got elected, reelected, by the way.
Right, because they were in and they were reelected because they're in districts that are amenable to their politics. But not one of them could get elected dog catcher in a mostly rural district just about anywhere in the country. Mm-hmm. Again, we're back to the pagans. But if you and you know, we may see it. It depends on the talent of the politician. Mm-hmm. That person may come along. You know, it's weird, but this country has a fondness, if you will, for Southern politicians. I mean, Bill Clinton carried Georgia in 1992. That's the last time Georgia was carried by a Democratic presidential candidate until this election. And they loved and people loved Bill Clinton all over this country because, you know, he had that voice and he talked to you like he knew you. And he said things like, "I feel your pain." And you know, he said it and we believed it. And it's similar to but different from the kind of politics that was practiced by JFK.
Would it be more proper to say that this country is enthralled with hucksters?
No, was not unless JFK was a huckster.
No, I mean, we just need to get a huckster in there that's got the good to the people in his heart. And
Jimmy Carter wasn't a huckster, and he is going to go down in history. While he was vilified from the moment he left office until 15 seconds ago, he's going to go down in history as one of the better modern presidents.
I agree, but I mean, why, you know?
What we like,
and can we harness that some way?
Well, I think when you say huckster, you're describing a false sincerity. I think what America craves is earnest sincerity. And craving that, for instance, they eagerly embraced the bullshit B-movie actor sincerity of a greasy-headed old dude who played second fiddle to a chimp in the form of old 666 himself, Ronald Wilson Reagan. We hunger for that. It's why a technocrat like Al Gore had a hard time getting the traction that his boss Bill Clinton had. It's why it was hard for people in some states to be moved. And I wish we voted with our brains and not our hearts, but we don't. And Republicans understand that, and we don't so well. You gotta make people tear up a little bit. You got to make them tear up either because they're happy or they're proud or they're moved. And so in 2004, when as brilliant as he is and as heroic as he has been and as intelligent as he is, in 2004, when John Kerry stood on the stump and said, "I just want to tell you that we can be better and Iraq was a mistake." People went, "Well, yeah, okay." And then they stole, and then the Bushes stole Ohio, and the rest is history.
Mm-hmm.
Remember how many people wanted to have a beer with George W. Bush?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I wasn't one of them, but there were a lot of people who did. And then Barack Obama tried to have a beer with somebody. It was Henry Louis Gates, I think. And
it was the police officer.
It was the police officer in the Henry Louis Gates
Jr.
Yeah, and he was excoriated for that.
remember, because Henry Louis Gates was racially profiled by the police officer. And,
Obama was excoriated that because tan suit.
Did he wear a tan suit to that one? I don't remember.
No, it's just general principle. You know, he wore a tan suit one time. He's darker than the tan suit that he wore.
Wow. And
damn it. Kenyan Muslim, you slurper.
Oh, that's...
And here's a headline from CNN. Trump administration removes senior defense officials and installs loyalists, triggering alarm at Pentagon. Thank you, Lou. And thank you to George. Thank you, George, for jumping in on the Up Over Down Under challenge from Robert in Australia. You know, putting forward those challenges is tough on Robert because the exchange rate is hell. But we are, we're $35 into the challenge with 25 minutes left to go in the program. And so that means we got $65 to go. So if we can scrounge up $65, we can meet, Robert's challenge, and that'll help out a lot with what is going to be an absolutely miserable day tomorrow. So thank you. And I will be so bold as to thank you in advance. Timo in the chat room just said, shit, is Orange going to try to start a war? There are those who are saying that he might like to wag the dog and start some shit with Iran, and I think that would be a natural target. Maybe Venezuela as well.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, I still see him as a coward.
Can I say something?
You can say anything you want. It's a regular joint.
Okay. Going back to the huckster thing that I was trying to get at, I mean, our literature is filled with it. Elmer Gantry, the man that corrupted Hadleyburg.
Andy Griffith in A Face in the Crowd.
A Face in the Crowd. I mean, our movies, our literature. But do we have an example of a good huckster?
I think by definition, when they're good, they're not a huckster.
Right. But there has to be someone out there.
Well, look at
who has the charisma.
Look at what was said of FDR when he passed away. One person said, "I didn't know him, but he knew me." There you go. The people weeping by the rail sidings as the body of was it Bobby Kennedy?
Yeah.
And weeping by the rail sidings as the body of FDR went home. There's no greater example than Lincoln. And you know, one of the more interesting aspects, and it's that parlor game that history buffs love to play. You know, there's a chance Lincoln would not have survived his second term anyway, because he had already survived and been substantially weakened by smallpox. As soon as he got home from giving the Gettysburg Address, he got bad sick. And he had horrible digestive and stomach problems, for which, as a treatment, he took a patent medicine of the day called Blue Mass.
Mercury.
Imagine taking mercury for your bellyache.
Ooh.
That'll fix you up. And, you know, it was probably mercury mixed with a little colloidal silver, and hence the blue part.
Oh, man.
But people wept genuine tears when he died, because we felt like the healing we had hoped for and that he had promised had been snatched from us.
Walt Whitman, O Captain, My Captain.
Exactly. But I don't think, for instance, people were that aggrieved by, say, the passing of McKinley. On the other hand, one of the great losses and the great underappreciated losses in American history is the murder, and you know who did the murdering is a question to this day, and it's more likely it was by the doctors than by the guy who wielded the gun of James Garfield. Because he was nominated by the Republican Party to be president on a promise that he was going to go in and fulfill the legacy of Lincoln and earnestly work on real equality for all Americans.
James Garfield.
Yeah. James in Illinois, speaking of James's, says, I don't think FDR could get elected today. Lincoln was never so popular until he was martyred.
That's an interesting point. Could FDR get... Well, you said that. The cable's still on. I can kind of sort of still pay my bills.
Yeah.
They can still get junk food.
Yeah. And thank you to Jug of Punch. We're down to 55 bucks to go. Jug says, have a pebble. Keep it out of your shoe. Consider it done. And again, just a general reminder, because I'm going to be a real annoyance about this. Thank you, Lou. If you are in Georgia, January 5th, and you can request an absentee ballot on before November 18th, but it will not be mailed out. The earliest day it can be mailed out is November 18th. And if you're not in Georgia, look into what you can do. Do you have good phone skills? Be a phone banker. Find a way to phone bank for Ossoff and Warnock. If you're in Georgia, knock on doors. Volunteer at a campaign headquarters. Because the future of the republic is indeed on the line.
Now, do just one of them need to win, or both of them?
Got to have them both. I mean, one will be great, but we got to have both if we want to get to 50.
Got to have both.
Yep.
Yeah, because you got to, would both of them bring it to 51, or no, just 50?
50. But Kamala Harris would break all the ties and make Mitch McConnell cry. Yeah. And the closer that man gets to a stroke... the better off America is. But, of course, he has the best health care on the planet. So there's that. We got to have them both. And, frankly, based on what I was talking with Todd last night about, I think we're better off. I can't imagine how this wouldn't be the case of those two campaigning together.
Oh, they are campaigning together, my understanding.
Yeah, that mine too.
I've seen commercials of them elbowing each other, you know, instead of shaking hands, you know, they're doing the elbow thing. What do you call that? Elbow butting?
Yeah, I guess the COVID bump.
The COVID bump. Now, I wanted to ask you a question. So how many representatives are there in the House again?
Oh, what, 235? No.
435. And you need 218 to have a majority?
Yeah.
Why is it stuck at 215?
Because there are some results not in.
Still?
No, we're going to keep the majority. It depends on who you're looking at. I mean, for instance, Real Clear Politics still has Pennsylvania grayed out.
Mm.
But he can't get well in Pennsylvania.
Mm. No, I've been looking at that. I was like, 215. What's keeping? And then it says, yeah, some haven't been called yet. And I'm like, it's late. So... will we know pretty soon, or?
Well, yeah, because they're going to get together, and there has to be a canvass, and then the ballot the results have to be certified. And that reminds me, Arnold in PA, asked earlier, let me get to, so how does the House thing work? How could he lose by so many electoral votes and wind up president again? Well, if you can throw it into the House, then it becomes arcane. And arcane is never good for democratic processes. Because you might think, on the one hand, well, gosh, I mean, we got a majority in the House. Everybody will just vote for, our majority will just vote for Joe Biden, and then Joe Biden will be president. Don't work like that. When the election is thrown into the House, each state gets one vote.
One state, one vote.
Yep. And right now, there is no reason to suspect, or right now, the way the state legislatures are apportioned,
there are more maggot.
There are more maggot state legislatures than there are Democrat. And so it would be, you know, 26-24, 27-23, and territories don't get a vote. All the more reason that if we can ever make it happen, and Republicans will be dead set against it, make D.C.
D.C., Puerto Rico.
Yeah, D.C., Puerto Rico, Marianas Islands, and American Samoa states. Now, American Samoa might very well send two Republican senators. But I doubt Puerto Rico ever would. And I'm pretty damn sure D.C. wouldn't.
No, although, yeah, well,
I mean, there are more people in Puerto Rico than there are in, what, 13, 18 states?
Yeah. And they run the gamut, though. Be surprised.
There
are right-wingers in Puerto Rico, too.
And by the way, for people wanting to help, Thomas reminds us, there's a website called postcards2voters.org. And that's a way to help.
That's pretty cool. Postcards to Voters. What did they do exactly?
You reach out to them, and I guess you volunteer to send postcards. Join people across the USA to write postcards to voters.
And, yeah, that's very interesting. I mean, so America's talking to America. You know, that's the thing. I mean, if anything, I'd love to get the post office back, you know?
Yeah, sure.
Because Another Trump administration will mean the end of the post office and...
Oh, God, another Trump administration means the end of the United States as we know it. Let's just... And that's not...
The things, tangible things that people don't get, you know?
Yeah,
I like having a post office. I lived in a country that didn't have... that had a crappy post office.
You know, and it's already screwed up because where I used to get mail every day... no... not anymore. About every other day. Seldom on Saturdays.
Yeah, it's been weird here, too. I mean, in my neck of the woods, not so much, but yeah, I've noticed a difference in delays, and which is why after I heard of the delays, I started sending out my bills earlier.
Yeah, probably wise. I had a note from Lee in New York saying, what America wants, going back to our earlier topic. I think what you're saying is something like this. We are not interested in plans. We vote against people and ideas we fear. We vote for people who we like, even if they're liars. We vote because of those single issues that allow a horrible life in every other way. And we are self-centered and care little for others. I think all of those are true. But you have to factor in at the top of that list, most Americans have no real working understanding of civic processes, and their understanding of history stems from whatever the preacher has told them in too many instances in the right on the right wing, and whatever they hear on Fox News or from Limbaugh or Hannity or whatever. And it has taken a terrible toll. Look, there's a guy out there, Flavio, by the name of David Barton, who has made his own cottage industry and made himself quite wealthy just simply publishing lies about American history. Yeah, he's a fellow traveler of the Beckerhead. And he says, and he created this organization called Wall Builders, which just makes up quotes out of whole cloth from famous Americans. To hear David Barton tell it, the Constitution was carried down on carved stone tablets from Mount Rushmore. And he can publish that, and people will eat it up with a spoon.
And then there's Prager University.
Another grift.
When are we going to come up with our grifts? Our honest grifts, which then wouldn't be grifts.
As soon as the money decides that they want them. See, that's like Georgia. Todd and I talking last night. Michael Bloomberg could throw $1 billion into Georgia and never feel it. He'll make it up next year. And I hope the hell he does. And with Georgia being the only thing to have to focus on, we need to get every Democratic superstar into Georgia. I imagine Barack Obama will show up. I imagine, Joe Biden will show up. Kamala Harris.
And this time there won't be any Liebermans or spoilers or
no.
It's just those two,
right? But it could be. Yeah. Now you have to understand how rat fuck Southern politics work. The people who voted for the other Democrats may very well have been Republicans. Who figured that for instance, Doug Collins, and they didn't really care, one or the other, Doug Collins, Kelly Loeffler, who gives a shit? So they went down ballot and voted for the other Democrats who weren't Raphael Warnock. And I don't know how you'd begin to mine that data to find out that that's true, but I would not be in the least surprised that it is. And so that has to be factored in to what goes down on and before January 5th.
Yeah, and they have to get more people to get out and vote. Although a lot of people did go get out and vote, and I mean record numbers. What percentage of the electorate voted this time?
As many or more than ever before. I mean, there were more votes cast for Joe Biden than were ever cast in a presidential election before.
Almost 76 million, something like that.
Yeah.
But
he beat Trump by 7 million. He doubled Hillary's margin of victory.
He doubled Hillary's 3 million votes, which should have carried her. And but still, I mean, when you think of it, 70 million still voted a second time for the orange monstrosity. Jesus.
And again, years and years ago, there was a book called What's the Matter with Kansas? It needs to be followed up by a modern tome, What's the Matter with 56% of White Women?
Yeah. I don't get that either. I mean, what was your guess? I mean, or they vote with their husbands or something, maybe?
To the extent that it's a religious vote, that may be part of it. You know, they are to submit to their husbands. So if they're that kind of religious, hubby says, we're voting for Trump.
Yes, dear.
And the number was 66.2% of eligible voters. Thank you, Lee, in New York.
66. That's amazing. I mean, you're hard pressed to get out 40.
Yeah. Yeah. And I had a note from Megan quoting Josh Potash on Twitter. The White House is telling federal agencies to proceed with plans for Trump's February budget. They're still vetting people for a second term. They're replacing key defense positions. And as noted, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo graduated first in his class at West Point.
that shit sent a chill down my spine, man.
Yeah. Well, he's talking about transitioning to a second Trump term. They're going for a coup. Damn. Just damn.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it sounded like. I mean, you know, with the...
And the question is, what do the American people do if that coup is run on them? Do we tolerate it? We just say, ho-hum, you know, well, we tried. Collect our participation trophy and go make s'mores?
Or do a Belarusia. Belarus.
Yeah, but we're not going to do that. I know people have pointed out, you know, the Velvet Revolution and the Orange Revolution and the Purple Revolution... And we are not those people. We are not that civically engaged. Or we haven't proven ourselves to be that engaged in our recent past. Now, it is worth remembering, last night I mentioned the maggot truckers that are talking about, you know, we're going to have a strike and teach them damn city people how important it is that we have Trump. And Les, who drives truck, said
they'd be unemployed before the morning coffee.
He said that dumb mother trucker strike will last right up until Pimpin' Flo comes for her scratch. but what's worth remembering here is that the AFL-CIO has called for a general strike if Trump does not leave peacefully. Now, that will have an impact.
That would.
If the SEIU and Nurses United and the flight attendants and the pilots... For what they are, for what strength they have, the steel workers and the mine workers. Well, you can leave the UMWA out of that.
The stevedores.
But the Teamsters and people who are sympathetic all said, nope, nothing's happening. We're shutting it down. That might make a difference. So it's,
yeah. Remember when the stevedores shut down the ports?
Yeah.
What was that?
Like the Port of L.A. and stuff?
Yeah, what was that about? Refresh my memory.
As we say here in the hills, you ask me too fast. But I do remember it. Hell, I remember when the Teamsters went on strike against UPS, and people were having kittens. So that. Hey, I need to send out huge thanks to Herbert. Thank you, Herbert. Herbert just wiped out all but $5 of Robert's Up Over Down Under challenge. That's tremendous. $5 and we're done with that challenge. And that will leave us at, $2.30, I think, to finish this evening. But that's tremendous progress made. Thank you to Robert, and thank you to George, and thank you, Herbert. Thank you to our buddy Jug of Punch, and thank you to Dave Number 11. for all of that. Thank you very kindly. Got to get out of here, Flavio.
Well, hey, it's
that
been
time.
Nice talking to you.
Oh, it's always, you know, I get such a kick out of talking to you. It's always a good conversation.
I'm sorry I haven't called. I've been kind of sheepish about calling. I mean, they're such great conversationalists, and I feel kind of not up to snuff. I mean, as far as conversation goes, I mean, I prefer to listen, you know?
Yeah, but you hold your own quite well. You've just got a different style, and I appreciate it.
All right. Well, you have a good evening, and stay safe, will you?
Trying to. It seems like the harder I try, the weirder it gets.
All right.
Take it easy.
Good night.
Take it easy, Flavio.
Take care.
Bye. Our buddy Flavio calling from... calling from Wisconsin. Good conversation. Excellent conversation. So that's the program. And again, I'd say, I hope it's no greater than 10%, but there's about a 10% chance that I may not be here tomorrow and an equal chance for Thursday. I hope neither is the case. But tomorrow's going to be, and it's not very often I say this, tomorrow is going to be a horrible day. I mean, I know it already. I know it in advance. And I just kind of have to deal with it. So, yeah, it is what it is. But I'll try to, any bad attitude I have, I will try to have put behind me by the time I get back in the studio. Thank you. Dear Sister Jude, thank you. Robert's up over down under challenge has been met. Thank you. And a reminder from Jude, tomorrow at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, which would be 2:11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, a 1 minute quiet moment focused on peace and justice via Women Standing. As Jude says, just take that 1 minute and just be still. That's 11:11 Pacific Standard Time, so maybe if you want to do, that's the 11th hour of the 11th month of the, or the, yeah. In Pacific time, if you want to do it in your own time zone, that's cool too. 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. The end of the war to end all wars. The end of the war to make the world safe for democracy. How's that working out? But we don't. We can't operate that like that. We have to operate understanding that peace is damned well worth the effort and the energy. You can go to veteransforpeace.org to find out more about that. And so thank you to all of you who keep the program on the air. Thank you to those of you who keep, who by your PayPal or Patreon subscriptions, by your a la carte contributions, keep all of this going, keep all the plates spinning on all the sticks. Thank you to each and every one of you who participates in the program in whatsoever manner you so choose and thereby shares with me and with the community broadly portions of your precious finite time on this planet. It is an honor, and it is humbling. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Brand new Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Less than an hour away, this HeadOn.live is the best place to listen to the Malloy program live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, always, always. Gina, it's all for you. The numbers are more horrifying than they have been heretofore in this plague, and the current wielders of power and occupants of the seats of power are doing nothing. And as such, are making it worse. Best way to stay safe is to stay home. If you cannot stay home, please wear your mask. Please wash your hands. Please don't touch your face. Please take hand sanitizer with you everywhere you go. Maintain your social distance. Not 6 feet, but 10, 15, 20 if you can. Because this thing is a killer. And by all means, if somebody comes towards you saying, "Well, I may have lost by 72%, but I ain't going to concede," avoid that person like the plague. Because, well, they are. Later.